Let your conscience do its
I get
work
your
and
question.
join that line.
So how do we ensure that the conscience protects us from wrong, but it doesn't discourage us so much that we just become hopeless?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's again going to the physical pain example. Say, if I'm putting my hand in fire, now that pain protects me. But that doesn't mean I should intentionally go and put my hand in fire. Isn't it? That will protect me, but the whole point of protection is that I don't put my hand in fire. But if I start thinking of that pain itself as a virtue, the pain is a circumstantial virtue. Pain is not an intrinsic virtue. Circumstantial means when my hand is caught in fire, at that time that pain is a protector, or my hand is nearing fire, it's a protector. But just being in pain or keeping myself in pain is not a virtue. So at a physical level, nobody will put their hand near fire or in fire. But at a psychological level, we do that. That means there is some feature, some behavioral feature of us which may be unhealthy and which we want to give up, but we are not able to give up. And that discourages us. So it's true that I have that issue and I have to deal with it. But if I keep thinking of it, if I identify myself with it, then it starts defining me. Now, what our bhakti philosophy tells us is that it's not that I am angry, it's not that I am lusty, it's not that I am greedy. It is our mind which is conditioned like that. So the mind is lusty, the mind is greedy, the mind is angry, the mind is depressed, the mind is psychotic, whatever it is. Now, of course, it's our mind, so it's going to affect us. But it's not we who are doing it. It's not we. So to the extent we can differentiate, and whenever that behavior comes up, we deal with it. And before and after that behavior, if you look at the graph of our consciousness versus time, there are some times when these unwanted desires surge up and they make us do something wrong. When these surges come, at that time it will be very difficult to resist it. But the surge doesn't stay forever. It comes for some time, it stays, it goes after that. Now, after that again, the surge may come after some time. But in between these two surges, what do we do? If at that time we are beating ourselves, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Then we are not doing anything to strengthen ourselves or purify ourselves. So in between, if we start engaging in healthy activities, at that time we start practicing bhakti, read some wisdom literature, do something which will intellectually and spiritually strengthen us. Then when the next time the urge comes, again we may succumb. But we are preparing ourselves to deal with it. Otherwise, what happens when this urge comes, we are succumbing to it. The mind says, do this. And we do it. And after that, the same mind tells us, you fool, why did you do it? So we are in both cases actually hearing the voice of the mind itself. So one way, you hold this? So one way can differentiate between, if you want to say, healthy guilt and unhealthy guilt, is that, say, if Krishna is here, the soul is here, and the anartha is here. So anger is there, greed is there, whatever is there, that's here. So now, guilt is what comes here, in between the two. Between us and the anartha. That is circumstantial guilt. That is good. But if this guilt comes here, in between us and Krishna, that means the guilt is not just saying you are bad because of this. The guilt is saying you are bad and therefore you cannot practice bhakti, you cannot do anything in your life. So guilt is meant to stop us from going towards wrongdoing, not stop us from going towards Krishna. And the guilt is stopping us from that, then you have to understand that is not guilt. That is simply pseudo-guilt, you could say. That is simply the mind masking itself as the voice of conscience. The mind is very cunning. Like Ravana came in the garb of a sadhu, but his motives were extremely unholy. So like that, sometimes the mind may appear like the voice of conscience. Why did you do that? But it's not the voice of conscience. It is the same mind's voice, and it's keeping us away from Krishna, who will give us strength and wisdom and will be able to will help us to overcome it. So what we do is, if there are urges, we may not be able to resist at that time. That's okay. That's the way we are right now. But what do we do in between the urges? If during those times we are practicing bhakti diligently, doing something constructive, then over a period of time, those urges will also become manageable. Okay.
Thank you. Like this guilt.